Welcome everyone to the fifth episode of One For You. Today we'll be talking about two films that have to do with the topic of journalism. We'll be talking about
The Post
and about All the President's Men. I'm Olivia.
I'm Andre.
Welcome. All right, so before we get into the two movies that we just mentioned, let's just have a quick look back about, you know, into what we've seen last month. Andre, what kind of film would you like to recommend?
I've watched for the second time A Ghost Story, and now that I watch it twice, I can say that I absolutely loved it. It's a love slash ghost story between Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck, and it's a very unconventional tale that goes into weird directions because it starts off being this romance, and then this is not a spoiler, Casey Affleck dies and he becomes a ghost, and he starts to haunt the house where they live, and it turns into this very eerie, creepy film, but it is still a romance to some extent, and it's a very lovely and unconventional movie. Really enjoyed it.
And I mean, as a ghost, he's literally just a man with a sheet over his head, right?
Yes, it seems very comedic at times, but I think if you get over it, it really works.
Okay, so the one that I want to recommend again is a movie about journalism, and it's a Swiss film. It's called Die vierte Gewalt, so The Fourth Estate, and it's a documentary where director Dieter Fall followed the staff of four different types of media outlets for a while, and he looked at what the challenges are of the new media age and how they deal with it and what types of different philosophies they have. And I think it's very interesting to have to get a look into how they work. I mean, the film doesn't always work on a structural level, but I think it's very interesting. And in times when we just had our, when we just voted whether we want to keep our SRF, I think this is an interesting film. So I can only recommend it. Yeah. Okay. So let's get into it.
The first film we're going to talk about it today is The Post by Steven Spielberg with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks. So the holy trinity of Hollywood. So to say, the film covers a time span just before the events of the second movie we cover with the Watergate scandal. It's about the Pentagon Papers, and when they leak, it kind of is revealed that the story about Vietnam and everything that has happened before is a different story than the public knows. So there's the different perception between government and public, and it's about the responsibility of the press and censorship from the government, and it's all told from the point of view of the first female publisher in the United States, from the Washington Post, Kay Graham, and it is really, I would say it's her journey from not quite the beginning, but throughout the story, I think it's the focus shifts more and more towards her.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you can also see that in the German title, which is Die Verlegerin, which is the publisher in English. So they really title for that. I mean, The Post is more about the newspaper, obviously, as a whole. But,
yes.
Yeah.
And the film really is in the spotlight right now because of the talent that is behind it. Also, the minor roles are just Bob Odenkirk plays one of the journalists. All the other supporting cast is just, you know all of them a little bit, or they look familiar to you. And it's some of the most acclaimed talents at work in Hollywood right now. What's also interesting about the production context is that the film was made in under a year because of the importance and the relevancy and the context in of the press and government that right now is very important with the Trump presidency and the whole fake news debate. And it's really an extraordinary feat if you think about it, because films usually take years and years to make, some longer, some shorter, but this is really as streamlined as a film production gets.
Yeah, but I think maybe... I mean, it might not be a result of this, but I think, for instance, that the script might have, benefited maybe from a little more work, because I think while it's a solidly made film and obviously well acted considering who's in it, and obviously Spielberg knows how to make a movie, it's very, it's solidly made and it's not a subtle movie. You said, like you pointed out, it was pushed through so quickly because it's also relevant for today. So it's not just about the Nixon presidency or all the presidents actually that came before him and lied about the Vietnam War.
It really
War.
Draws his parallel.
Yeah, but it explicitly draws the parallel, and it's not subtle. It's very much heralding the press, mm-hmm. right? And it's a lot about the value of the First Amendment and how this is the greatest thing ever.
It's really on the nose at times.
It's very, very not subtle. And I think it doesn't leave much room for nuances. I mean, obviously, I would like to say, yes, the press is always right and they're great guys and they only do good stuff, but they are not always as idealistic as it is shown in the film. And
it's very uncritical at times. And I think you really strike at the heart of my criticism of that this script or this production should have probably taken a longer resting time and had a second look, because Tom Hanks talks in some interviews that they had script changes last minute on the day they were shooting. And sometimes you can really feel this this unfocusedness of the film, mm-hmm. especially in the first half. For me, I didn't get drawn in as much as I hoped, because the second half really got me excited, and it turns into this political thriller, and but ultimately it's just somewhat too late, because you don't really know what the film is going for. What genre is this? Is this a political thriller? Is this a film about Vietnam? Because it starts off with the scene in Vietnam and this, mm-hmm. this journalist who covers the war. And yeah, it's just very unfocused.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I mean, it's on the one hand, it's about freedom of the press. On the other hand, it's about abuse of power, but it's also about questions of feminism, because like you said, Kay Graham is the first mm-hmm. Female publisher in the States. And I mean, yes, it is about her journey and her question, questioning, can she do this? Should she do this? Because mm-hmm. it's not just about, them standing against the government, but it's also a moment when they go public. And so they, and if they, if there's some sort of scandal or catastrophe, the investors could take back their money, which would be disastrous for the company. So she would lose everything her family has done.
So it's really about the interests of her and how she chooses. Does she take the moral high ground and, mm-hmm. and risk everything she has achieved or her family has achieved and left behind for her? So it's when the film focuses on Streep and her character Kay Graham, I think it's at the strongest, because there are very exciting scenes towards the second half, when at one point one scene that really stuck in my mind is this phone call and everybody talks and nobody really listens to each other, and at some point Kay just cuts through this mess, this chaos, and just says, yes, these are all valid points, but it's ultimately my decision. Yeah. And that's really the turning point, and that's where the film is the strongest.
I'm not entirely sure I agree with this, because I think the point from, hesitating and being unsure and, can she manage to assert her power and then doing it is too sudden for me in the film. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a spoiler to say that they publish the papers, because otherwise there would be no story. Yes. So, and that for me comes too suddenly. I don't think it is earned that much. It's too much hesitancy. And then, yes, I am the strong woman. And it comes too quickly for me. Mm-hmm. And I also think her story is, so it's two points. On the one hand, sometimes we are told this, she's in a difficult position because of this and this. And they tell us repeatedly. And I think they could just show us more, Mm-hmm. I mean, for instance, once Ben Bradley, that's the editor-in-chief, Tom Hanks' character, has a conversation with his wife. And his wife then has to explain to him what Kay Graham's position is. And then
it's very heavy-handed.
Right, yes. So, okay. So I say, show it to us. But then they also sometimes do it by showing us. And that's, you know, she walks through a group of women and then she walks into a room and there are only men there, you know, and this is where the stuff happens and she moves from the women into men. And this happens twice. And again, it's also, it's just very, very much on the nose. So, but I, there are also subtler moments, I think. For instance, mm-hmm. there's one scene when Kay and Ben are talking and the way the camera moves, you know. So she sits down and then the camera follows her. And so he gets out of focus and everything. And, you know, I think this is a more subtle way of showing the power shifts and yeah. who's in control at that moment.
I mean, you talked about Steven Spielberg, who obviously knows how to make films. His body of work is one of the most acclaimed out there. But I think it's just, there's a lack of investigation and again, focus or direction even. And maybe he didn't, it feels at times that he didn't know what story he wants to tell or how he wants to tell, because it all kind of looks pretty, but on a technical level, the form never mirrors the content. As I maybe wished for from a director of his caliber.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, the film has some really nice nuances, and he is really interested in the materiality of journalism.
Uh-huh.
And there's this beautiful scene where one of the journalists sits at the desk and basically waits for the machines to go on and print his article, mm-hmm. and he just waits and he doesn't know what happens. And then just the whole office begins to
yeah.
move, and it's such a nice moment that mm-hmm. really stuck with me too.
Yeah, I think that's something I really liked, the whole materiality of the newspaper business. I mean, it's in stark contrast to what we have nowadays, right, where you go mm-hmm. online and everything, and here, you know, they walk into the offices and then you hear a click, 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 click of the typewriter. And also, obviously, when they smuggle out the Pentagon papers, they don't have a stick. They bring like huge shreds of paper, and it just has more impact when you see
someone. It's a whole motel room filled with paper stacks.
And it's just, I like that. I mean, obviously the consequences are the same, whether you smuggle out your stick or you smuggle out all the paper, but still it has a bit more impact. And I think I did like that materiality. And what they also did, I don't know, maybe we can talk about this. It's like they interspersed this whole, everything with tapes from Nixon, right?
Yes.
So at the time when this was happening with the Pentagon Papers, obviously nobody knew that Nixon was taping everything, but they now sort of intercut it and they sort of suggested that he was having these conversations at the time that this was taking place. And yeah, I don't know how much, if this added anything to the movie. What do you think?
No, it was, it felt like these interludes that they were just thrown in there to give some historical context or give the audience some Easter eggs, because the sequences are also stylistically very different to the rest of the movie,
mm-hmm.
because it seems like it's shot with this tele lens from really far away, and you can clearly tell this is CGI created Nixon character in the White House,
yeah.
and somebody's looking through the window, as it's implied somebody is watching him from the far. And yeah, it for me, I got really quite annoyed, because it happens throughout the movie and didn't add anything.
I don't think it did either. I mean, and also, you know, the movie is probably about, you know, them making this decision and they don't have this information, so why would you add it so the audience has this mm-hmm. information, right? So.
Yeah, it's just to create this evil antagonist.
Yeah,
that, yeah. It's this very clear good evil dichotomy that the film really focuses on.
Yeah. I mean, Nixon was pretty bad. I have a problem with that. But, you know, the,
totally
the
agreed.
Heralding of the press is like a bit much. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe as a last word, I think the film really suffered from its own ambition to bring this to the people so quickly.
Mm.
And maybe it would have profited from maybe a resting period.
Yeah. It might have. Well, but how the film ends is, of course, very interesting, because it ends with the break-in at Watergate, which is why we were like, yeah, we should watch All the President's Men, which is what we did for our gem session. Yeah, so All the President's Men is from a very different time. It was from 1976. So that's a few years after Watergate and Nixon's resignation. And it's based on the book written by Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, who are the two reporters who mostly wrote about the Watergate scandal. Mm. And it is by director Alan J. Pakula, who I don't know what else he did. It's the only film of his that I've seen. And it's with especially Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford, who play the two reporters.
And who play the two reporters who then wrote the book,
yes. And it's basically about... it starts with the water, with the break-in at Watergate, which the Woodward reports on, and then it sort of goes from there as they uncover more and more and more. So you follow the journalists as they uncover more leads, mm-hmm. basically. So it's a very different beast, I think, from The Post, where it's at a bit of a higher level, you know, where the publisher has to make a decision, and here it's about the journalists and how they do their work.
Really, the groundwork.
Yeah.
For me, I knew the film and I knew it was a classic, but I knew what it was about, but I've never seen it, and I watched it for the first time. And my viewing experience, I was just thrown into this world, and I thought it was very engaging. And as I watch movies, I take notes, and after about 20 minutes, I just abandoned my notebook because there's just this avalanche of information and this absolute overload of names, places, events taking place. And then I slowly realized that this is actually what the film wants to do, because it wants to confuse you. It wants to throw all this information at you and really put you as the viewer in the shoes of the mm-hmm. journalist who were exactly in the same position. They didn't know what was happening behind closed doors.
Yeah, they don't know what it's important. So they have to wade through all the information, as do you. And there are so many names. There are so many names. And I was super tired when I watched the film. So I really had difficulty remembering who did what and who was whom exactly and whom paid whoever what. But I think... it might also have something to do with the fact, you know, that it is a movie from a time when what happened was still probably rather fresh in people's minds. So they might have known some of the names. I think that might also be a thing here. But as you say, I think it's also intentional.
It's extremely yeah. intentional, in my opinion, because there's entire scenes of talking people on the phone, and Robert Redford's character at some point, he starts taking notes, as you would, because you can't really remember all these names. And then you have these names on a sheet of paper, and the camera just shows this. And then he starts underscoring names and crossing off different ones. And then it just becomes this huge mess and chaos. And you don't really know what you focus on, because mm-hmm. there is so many focuses. And you could say, okay, this is directionless, but I think it's intentionally directionless. And that is what's so amazing about this filmmaking, that the film really mirrors the journalist's state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also on a technical level, that for example, the conversations are all on the same volume, that you hear background noises of typewriters, you hear people talking in the background about seemingly insignificant stuff, but it's at the same volume as the main character talking on the phone, mm-hmm. and you don't really know, should I focus on the conversation going on in the back, or should I listen to him, or what is the focus here? And also there's sometimes very long scenes with double focuses where people watching events taking place on the news right now that are very significant to the story. But at the same time, there's also the journalist working in the foreground and talking to somebody else. And you just, again, there's this overload of information, this multitude of focuses that you can't really put your finger on. And it really, I think it's ultimately just a masterclass of subjective filmmaking, because it really puts you in the shoes of the journalist.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you say, yes, there are so many foci, like when in one scene, but on the other hand, I also think the film is very focused, because it is all about the journalist's work. There's nothing else. There's nothing about their lives. We know nothing about their situation. There's nothing explained because it doesn't matter because it's all about their work.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a big contrast to the Post where everything, you know, we have to talk a little bit about this, a little bit about that.
I think that is the main difference because it's intentionally unfocused, or I wouldn't say unfocused.
But like within a certain parameters, there's a lot going on, but they stick with those parameters.
Intentionally, this multitude of focuses and this overload of information again.
Yeah, I mean, what I also think it's a different tone in a way, because we said we had a bit of a problem with how the press was,
depicted in the post,
and here I think it's much more grounded in a way, which is ironic because you would think maybe that if they wrote the book about their own work, they might, you know.
I think it's at a
level lower. So it's we're doing the work, and we're not talking about how important the work is. Obviously, they are also like, is this important enough to put on the front page and stuff like this? But, you know, not about, you know, lofty arguments about First Amendment. I mean, I think they say it once, but it's a movie that's like over 2 hours long. So,
but they are also not hiding anything. For example, the Dustin Hoffman character at one point, they're so fed up with not getting any information, and they think they have a lead, and he goes to the one's secretary's house and seemingly pressures her into giving them information. And on one level, you're really excited because you also want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But then is this the proper way to do journalism?
What they also have about this is that they rely a lot on anonymous sources because nobody wants to say anything. So they rely a lot on anonymous sources, which is, you know, a problem because, I mean, and again, this is a gem session where we go into spoilers. In the end, it turns out that they thought they had information that they could rely on someone who confirmed the information for them. But then it turns out that it was not actually true. So that the big article they wrote isn't based on fact, which of course is a way of discrediting all the previous work they've
done.
Yes,
and undermines everything they've done before. And they just got so excited. And also, again, they seemingly pressure this one source to giving them information or confirm information that then turns to be untrue. And
I find it very interesting that they end on this note, basically. I mean, the film, so what we see, it sort of ends on this note. It ends with their failure. And then, you know, the rest of the reporting and then how everything was discovered and Nixon resigned only shows up as newspaper headlines. So you can't see them working at that again. So, and I find a very interesting decision to stop there because the book told the whole story. But I mean, like I said, the film's already more than 2 hours long. So obviously they had to cut some stuff and that they just said, okay, we end with the failure. I find that very interesting.
Yeah, it's very anticlimactic because they literally just, you see a typewriter typing the headlines.
Yeah.
And because you know the story, how the story develops and even now it's very in people's mind. But yeah, it's kind of let down.
Yeah, but and I like that because that is how journalism works sometimes, you know.
And the film tells a different story.
Yeah,
it's not this political thriller that shows you all the facets and all the levels of the intrigue, but stays with the journalists on the ground.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, we have to say, I mean, it won an Oscar for best adapted screenplay, so I think I would agree that they did a really good job with that.
I think I could watch this film 3, 4, 5 times and still not get my head around every detail because it's so packed with information and so many little things here and there. And it's really a good film.
Yeah, I have to say, I also enjoyed it. I think if you want to watch something about the 70s and the Washington Post, I would watch this one and not the Post.
I must agree.
Yeah. Okay. we have watched these films, but which one are you looking forward to, a film that you haven't seen yet?
So a film that is coming out very soon in April is A Wrinkle in Time. That's the new film of Ava DuVernay, She directed some smaller films in the past, and one very important biopic about Martin Luther King Jr. Called Selma, which I really liked. I went back to see some other films she did. She also most recently did a very good documentary called The 13th, which I can highly recommend. It's on Netflix right now. And I just became to admire her as a filmmaker, and now she turns to a more blockbuster type of project, and I want to see how she does with that.
What is it about A Wrinkle in Time?
I don't really know. It's
Okay, so
about
you're
science and space time travel, I guess. And
okay.
it has Oprah as a goddess in there somewhat.
All right.
It's based on a book, but I.
So you're excited based on the talent behind
That's normally how I go watch films, because
it.
I look at the. I don't watch trailers. I just look at the directors and their upcoming projects and think, like, this one.
Fair enough.
What are you excited about?
I'm excited about Lady Bird, which I guess the whole world has already seen, but in Switzerland it's only yet coming out. So I'm excited about that. That's Greta Gerwig's first project as a director, and it's with Saoirse Ronan, who plays a young girl who's coming of age and figuring out who she wants to be. And everything that I've heard says this is an amazing film, and I'm really excited to see it. Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this episode. You'll hear from us next time. Bye.
Bye.